You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the latest and the final edition of the FWA podcast for the Premier League this season. The final weekend of games on Sunday at 3 p.m, all 10 of them. Dave Kellner here in the studio, and I'm delighted to be joined by Martin Lipton, the Deputy Head of Sport at The Sun, to go through a couple of these games that are televised, and we'll have a general chat about how the season has unfolded as well. First of all, a warm welcome, a good afternoon to you, Martin.
Good afternoon, David.
How are you, sir? Are you well?
I am, actually, I have to say. I can't say I'm devastated at the end of the season. It's been quite a long one. It's a bit of a shame there's not too much on it, though. I mean, you always want it to be a few final day deciders and key issues. But virtually everything is wrapped up apart from that battle for third and fourth, and basically fourth in reality, one would assume. But yeah, it's been a long, long 9 months.
Chelsea are 7 points clear and have won the Premier League title already. And as you mentioned, it is a little bit of a damp squib going into Sunday's set of matches. Have Chelsea been that impressive, or has this been a poor Premier League season in your opinion, Martin?
Well, they'd have won 30 games. They're going to end up probably with 93 points. How can that be anything other than an outstanding triumph? And Tottenham, if they win at Hull, which one would expect them to do, will end up with 86 points, which would have won the league in 9 previous seasons or more. You know, we're talking about two outstanding sides who played extremely well. Chelsea deservedly the champions. They've been brilliant ever since the tactical switch was made after the Arsenal game by Antonio Conte. He's got just about everything right. They've been peerless at times. They've been incredibly diligent and capable of digging out results when they've had to. But they haven't just won 1-0s. They haven't just won by gritty, grindy results. They've won by playing some fabulous football, some really attractive stuff. And they've been a credit to the club. And it's... I think it's about time we stop talking about Roman Abramovich being an interloper and being a short-term owner. He's been there for 13 seasons now. They've won the league 5 times in that spell. He's been a pretty successful owner of the club. There's no way around it. Yeah. And his ambitions for the club are clear as well with the plans for the new stadium. Chelsea have been great. Simple as that.
You mentioned that tactical change by Antonio Conte after the game against Arsenal. That's been pinpointed in many quarters as the pivotal moment in this Premier League season. Is that what has impressed you most, his willingness to change tactically when things weren't going well?
Well, I think we always knew that he preferred that system. It was the one that he'd used most of the time at Juventus and with Italy in the Euros, albeit that before Juventus he had played with a four. So to a little bit, I think you can say he was looking for an excuse to do it. And he was helped, as it happens, by the injury to John Terry, which came at that point in the season, and also the arrival of David Luiz, who he got right at the end of the window, if you remember. It was a surprise when he went out and bought him. And Luiz has been truly exceptional for Chelsea. And rightly, a lot of the credit has gone to N'Golo Kante and Diego Costa to a degree, and also Eden Hazard. But I think that David Luiz deserves a great deal of commendation and respect and tribute too, because he has made that system work. He has kept himself more restrained than he was first time around. He's played with more discipline tactically and emotionally, and it's made a big impact. And yes, Conte has been very shrewd, but he's had good players and they've all performed well. And he's been fortunate to a degree in that the lack of European football has meant he was able to pick the same team pretty much when it mattered, game after game after game. There's a consistency of selection, which isn't always possible when the accumulation of matches and the fatigue brings in injuries and also suspensions. So these things didn't harm him, but he's taken advantage of it superbly.
We've already got betting out for next season, Martin. Manchester City are the 5-2 favourites to win the Premier League next season. Chelsea are 11-4 in the betting. Manchester United 100-30. Liverpool in the betting 8-1. Spurs also 8-1 to win the title. Arsenal 12-1, and it's 80-1 and bigger the remainder. That price on Spurs stands out at 8-1, Martin, but they have to cope with the transition from White Hart Lane to Wembley, and a lot of people are highlighting their poor performances in Europe at Wembley this season, and maybe that's going to prove a factor next season, possibly.
Well, it might do, but there's no reason why it should. If you look at those performances, in each one they played better. The results might not have been great, but they played better. They lost to Monaco in the opening game. Monaco got to the semi-finals of the Champions League. It wasn't as if they lost to a team of rubbish. Monaco have just won the French title, beating PSG and an excellent Nice side. They lost the narrow game they shouldn't have lost against Leverkusen. They beat the Russians quite easily. They then drew with the Belgian team, who they should have scored 10 against, let's be honest. They murdered them and drew 2-2. And then in the semi-final of the FA Cup, they did lose to Chelsea. And on, I would say, 9 out of 10 occasions playing the same game, they'd have won, because that was perhaps the best performance of the season, if not the best result. On the ball, they were outstanding. They made a couple of mistakes at the back, and Chelsea scored two absolutely sensational goals. They weren't playing that badly. They just didn't get results. I think if they win a couple of games early on, then all this talk about Wembley will disappear. And the one advantage that Spurs have got about when it comes to their move to Wembley, that you can't really deny looking at the table, is that they've got good players. Yeah. It gives you a chance.
They have. They've got a superb squad. Do you think Mauricio Pochettino will be able to keep hold of all those stars? I suppose that's going to be a key factor in the summer, because you can imagine big clubs, and Spurs are a big club now. I mean, the Galacticos are going to come in and look at Dele Alli, look at Harry Kane as well, who's had another 20-goal-plus season with Spurs, and think, we can break the bank for these players. And Spurs, historically, have sold their superstar players, Luka Modric and Gareth Bale, a couple to pinpoint, that went to Real Madrid when the astronomical fees came in.
Yeah, I think if someone offers 100 million, you might listen, but not much below that. There's no indication from Tottenham whatsoever they want to let too many go. I think we can say with a degree of certainty that Kyle Walker will leave the club, probably for Manchester City. I think that's an inevitability. And there's no doubt that at the moment, both Danny Rose and Eric Dyer are minded to leave if a chance comes. But I don't think that an injured Danny Rose is going to be quite as much of a target as he might have been, and he's going to miss the start of next season. And there is no doubt from conversations I've had that Daniel Levy will not sell any player to Manchester United unless he wants to. So it would take something quite remarkable, I think, to prize Eric Dyer away, even if Dyer is minded to go. And I believe at this juncture he genuinely is. He feels very frustrated looking at his wage packet compared to the one that he could get elsewhere. So I suspect that Daniel Levy will have to start getting out his checkbook and offering more money to people. But then again, he's going to have to do that anyhow. If Spurs are playing with the big boys, they've got to start paying big boy wages. They know that. And I suspect that they'll find a way to do that. If not, they will be vulnerable, there's no question. But I don't think that there's any likelihood of a major flight of players this summer. In the end, I think there'll be issues and they have to be sorted out. But, and as I said, clearly there are significant issues with Rose, Dyer and Walker. There's no question of that. And therefore, Pochettino, and in the negotiation and consultation with Daniel Levy, has got to find a way to ensure there isn't that breakup of the team. Because if they stick together, that's a team that can challenge for a few years yet.
Definitely, definitely. Have you heard anything about Dele Alli and Harry Kane then, Martin, or not?
Well, there's nothing in the ether. Neither of them want to leave. Harry Kane genuinely wants, at this stage anyhow, genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad. Because much as I love Tottenham Hotspur, as anyone who knows me will tell you, they're not the biggest club in the world. But he feels that he can be a legend at Tottenham. And he's already in his head, is look at those remarkable figures set up by Jimmy Greaves 40, 50 years ago, and wonders if he can match them or exceed them. And if he did, it would be truly, he would be a, there'll be a statue of Harry Kane outside White Hart Lane in 20 years' time. or not White Hart Lane, but the new stadium, which is going up as we speak, and is remarkably impressive. So, I think that Dele Alli at some point will be targeted, unquestionably. I don't think it's quite yet. I think it might be another couple of years. If he continues to mature and grow as a player as he is, then by next summer, they will be having to beat them off with six because they're going to be everyone wanting him, the great clubs, the Real Madrid, the Barcelonas, etc. And once a club of that stature comes in, it's very hard not to have your head turned for any player. So that's. But then again, Manchester United couldn't stop losing Cristiano Ronaldo to Real Madrid. Arsenal couldn't prevent Thierry Henry and Overmars and Petit and other players going to Barcelona or Fabregas in more recent times. You know, it's what happens. If those two clubs come in, people will go. They just will because they're the two biggest clubs in the world.
We have got a special on the website, Harry Kane to break Alan Shearer's Premier League record of 260 goals, which admittedly is still a way off, but that's 11-1 here with William Hill for Harry Kane to break Alan Shearer's Premier League goal scoring record. That's on the specials page on the William Hill website.
It's a 10-year bet.
Yeah, it's a long wait. It's a serious investment. It is 11-1 here with William Hill. Let's talk about the two televised games this weekend then. Watford, Man City and Liverpool versus Middlesbrough are the two games that are going to be live on Sky Sports. And Watford are 10-1 to beat Manchester City, who are 100-30 on, with the draw in the betting at 4-1. Things haven't gone as Pep Guardiola would have imagined. He did that press conference midweek where he said words to the effect of, if I was at a big club, I'd have been sacked by now. But I think he feels secure and he knows that this is a long-term project and he's going to be heading it at Manchester City.
I think there's a lot of pressure on him to win next season. I think another season like this would cause issues because they have significantly underachieved. Yes, they're probably going to finish third, but a long way distant from second, let alone first. They've lost far too many games and the recruitment last summer was cockeyed, to be honest. I mean, if you want to play that football, then you've got to actually ensure you've got fullbacks who can run and kick and defend with pace, centre-halves who can do the basics, and a goalkeeper who can catch the ball. Unfortunately, they didn't have any of that, apart from John Stones at centre-half. They really missed Kompany through much of the season. None of the fullbacks were sufficiently good enough to play the football he tried to play. And that's Guardiola's fault, because he must have recognised those deficiencies in the squad and did nothing about them. You've got four fullbacks, all of whom are the wrong side of 30, and none of whom are good enough to play that football. And it showed. And in time and time and time again, they got caught out by teams who realised that if you shoot on target three times against Claudio Bravo, at least one of them is going to go in because he's not very good. Now, part of that, of course, is that he'd never previously played behind a defence in his recent years that allowed shots. He had a great record. If you look at his stats from Barcelona, he had a really high shots to goals, ratio. That's because most of the shots are from outside the box. Mm. You know, he can see them from further away. They're less likely to go in. You would get behind City so easily. You were shooting from 12, 14 yards. You're more chance of scoring. And lo and behold, they went in. And also, he can't save it anyhow. He can't make a save. I mean, really, he has been one of the worst signings I've seen. And I understand the concept that he wants a goalkeeper who's good with his feet. And yeah, it's good to have a goalkeeper who's good with his feet. But first and foremost, they've got to be good with their hands. He's not. He's awful. And, you know, they've got Caballero now. Again, he's not good enough. So they have to sign a goalkeeper next summer. This summer, absolutely imperative. Before anything else, they've got to get a keeper in. Going forward, they're fabulous.
Yeah.
Look at the players they've got. The fact that they're, it would appear, willing to consider letting Sergio Aguero go tells you everything you need to know about the quality they've got. De Bruyne, Sane, who's got better and better, Sterling, Gabriel Jesus. These superb players, absolutely a joy to watch. David Silva, still one of the best players in the Premier League. They're fantastic to watch going forward. But you've got to have both sides of it. It's no good having a beautiful, glittering, golden roof if your foundations are crumbling.
That's mad, isn't it, as well? Sergio Aguero willing to let him go, seemingly willing to let him go, because I still think he's the best Premier League striker, Martin. I
think he's great. I'd have him tomorrow. There is a feeling that he gets suspended too often and he gets injured too often.
Right.
They think he misses too many games over the course of the season. And we will see. But I do think it's a genuine possibility. In fact, more than that, I think if I had to pick a player, a top striker from any of the top six, who would be sold rather than retiring this summer, I'd have Sanchez just at the top of the list, but Aguero not far behind him.
Yeah, I agree. And Manchester City will be looking for a couple of fullbacks as well. You mentioned the goalkeeping situation. I think he'll be wanting to nail down a couple of high-class fullbacks this summer as well, Guardiola.
Mm. And Walker will be the first of those, I think.
Yeah.
Left-back, I'm not so sure where they go. Interesting that, you know, the one they were having a little dart at from Schalke has gone to Arsenal, the left-back there. They will need they need improvements. You know, I think you need four full-backs to play that high-intensity football, particularly with the Champions League demands as well. And they've all got to be machines. They've got to be able to go for 90 minutes. And also tuck inside as well, because he likes to invert his fullbacks. He doesn't like them. He wants them to join in to the midfield and make an extra pair of extra bodies in that area as well.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the prediction for this game? Man City travelling to Vicarage Road to take on Watford, Martin.
Well, the first prediction is it will be about who's going to be in the bench for Watford, because they've probably changed their manager three times between now and the game. It is a revolving door. City need to win to be guaranteed third, which is automatic group phase of the Champions League, and avoid the potentially perilous playoff, but given the nature of teams that have come fourth in their various divisions, so on third in some other divisions as well. So I think City will win by 3-0.
15-2 Manchester City to win the game 3-0. The other TV game is Liverpool versus Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough, of course, already relegated, go down alongside Sunderland and Hull City. And Liverpool are 1-7 to win this game at Anfield. The draw 13-2. Middlesbrough in the betting at 20-1. Assuming Liverpool do finish inside the top four and Arsenal miss out, which looks likely as far as the betting is concerned, and with these games in question as well, will this have been a successful season for Liverpool Football Club, Martin?
Just about, yes. I think, look, if you offer them top four at the start of the season, the sensible fans would have said, I'll have that. Some were dreaming much higher. And I thought that was always a slightly unlikely scenario. One of the reasons is they haven't got a good enough goalkeeper. You need a top keeper to win the title. You tell me the last bad goalkeeper to win the title. There's not many. Mm. And whilst Mignolet and Karius are decent, they're not, as Wenger would say, top. They're not Petr Cech. They're not Hugo Lloris. They're not Kasper Schmeichel, who I think might end up at Liverpool next season, by the way. They're not Thibaut Courtois. They're not David De Gea. You know, they're the better keepers. And Liverpool didn't have one of that bracket, and nor did City. And I think that in the end has cost them quite dear. A small squad, they've wasted an opportunity as well, because they weren't playing in Europe. Chelsea weren't playing in Europe. They had a small squad and they won the league. Liverpool also had a small squad, also weren't playing in Europe, had more time with the manager, and are probably going to sneak fourth.
Yeah.
You cannot but say that compared to Chelsea, at least, Liverpool have underperformed. Nevertheless, getting into the top four, getting back into Europe, assuming they win that playoff in August, makes it a success, because that is the prime sensible target. I always said when Jurgen Klopp came in that the true measure of his team would be after he's had three proper transfer windows, i.e. next season is when we'd see the real Klopp side. Let's have a look at it. Let's see what they are. But they're a long way off, let's be honest. They have to make significant strengthening. They've got to get more players in, certainly, because they were, once they had a few injuries, which may be down to his training methods. I think if you ask Raymond Verheyen, they were down to his training methods. And when they lost a few players, what they had in reserve wasn't very good, wasn't up to the standard. And that contributed to them losing far too many matches that they shouldn't have lost. They're unbeaten against the top six, but it's against the bottom 14 they struggled. Far too often they've dropped points, lost games. Look at the teams they've lost to. Not only Palace and Swansea at home, but they lost at Hull, who got relegated. They lost at Bournemouth and then drew at home to Bournemouth. They lost at Burnley. So many times they've lost games and drawn games that they should not have been losing and drawing. And that has cost them dear.
They have at times criminally underperformed at Anfield as well this season, which will annoy the faithful at Liverpool. Do you think they win this game against Middlesbrough?
If they can't beat this Middlesbrough, I mean, who are awful, who are just not very good, let's be fair.
Yeah.
It will be quite nervy, though, until they go two goals clear. I think it'll be a quite anxious mood, because there is that sense at Liverpool now of a fear factor about throwing things away. And that probably goes back to Stevie Gerrard's slip against Chelsea. And there is almost at Liverpool, there's more of a sense of anxiety now than anything else. And they want them to be successful. They want to roar them home. They're desperate for it to happen. But there is that, that sense of fear and dread underpinning one or two people. And a lot of the fans get that. And Klopp's mentioned it, that there is this sense of nervousness. And that will definitely be there at the start of play. And if Liverpool go 20 minutes without scoring, or 25 minutes without scoring, or half an hour without scoring, or Middlesbrough go close or nick a goal, can you imagine how nervy it will be?
Oh, they should win.
But that doesn't necessarily... And I think they will win, but it will still be a twitchy, twitchy, twitchy afternoon.
They are very short in the betting at 1-7 as well. So do you think it will be a narrow Liverpool victory, Martin? Is that your gut feeling here?
Look, if they score a couple early, then it's good night and they win by five. But I suspect it will be one of those edgy 2-0, maybe 2-1 encounters when they get a little... And they'll have a moment of extreme doubt at some point in the game, I'm sure.
2-0 to Liverpool is in the betting at 5-1. 2-1 to Liverpool is in the market at 12-1 here with William Hill. Martin, thank you for your company on this podcast.
No problem, it's a pleasure.
I do appreciate it. If you want to follow Martin on Twitter, you need to go to @MartinLipton. That's Martin's Twitter handle. You can follow myself @DKellner as well. Thank you, everyone that's tuned into the FW podcast throughout the course of the Premier League season. And hopefully we'll be able to catch up ahead of the FA Cup on Saturday week as well. Again, Martin, thank you for your company.
No problem. Take care.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com by clicking on the football page, and we'll be back in the not-too-distant future.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.